50 as we look in the very last chapter of the book of Genesis. And thank God for the journey. It's been very good. Learned a lot of things from the Word of God as we've been in Genesis. From the best I can tell, I started preaching on Genesis chapter 1 on October 14th of 2018. Of course, every service has not been verse by verse through Genesis. We've been doing Matthew as well. And the things that God has shown us through this book are quite simply amazing. I've learned this, and I hope you've learned this, that in creation, God didn't miss a thing. He got everything right the first try. He got marriage right the first try. He got that Jew right on the first try. And he also got his son right on the first try. There's two or three places in Genesis that's a prophecy of his son, Jesus Christ. And as we look tonight, I'm going to preach to you tonight on the coffin. This book started out with God and glory and creation and ends with a man in the coffin in Egypt. And that's the key verse of this chapter, which is verse number 26. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So start out in glory and wind up in a coffin. What a journey. And as we look at this night, there's 26 verses, 690 words, all inspired by God. This particular chapter at a 6.7 grade level. We see the preparation of Joseph's burial, of Jacob's burial in verses 1 through 3. We see the pardon given by Joseph to his brethren. We see the procession of what's going on, verses 7 through 14. Then the last part of it is the passing of Joseph. And we start reading in verse 1. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I find grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father hath made me swear, lo, I die, in my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, There shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up, and bury thy father, according as he hath made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation, and he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land of the Canaanites saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is the grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Abismraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for possession of burying place for Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, and I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land, and to the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for the time to come and read your word tonight, Lord, and to have the liberty to preach what thus saith the Lord is tonight without fear, favor, or compromise. And we pray, God, tonight that you'd help us, Lord, to understand your word according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And God, you'd help me to preach tonight, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to hold your place at Genesis, and we're going to come right back here. But I want you to have your Bible open to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We always are encouraged by the Word of God to let Scripture interpret Scripture. And tonight we want to do that with Genesis chapter 50, and one of the more plainly statements over here in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. And it has been a theme running through Genesis about everything that's going on. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded is what you think and your flesh thinks is the best thing. He said, but to be spiritually minded, that's the new nature, spiritually minded is life and, what's that other word? We want the second one, but we're going to do it with carnal mind. And it never works out. I was talking with somebody this week, and they said they had these people in their lives everywhere they go. They'll say this, I hate drama. I hate drama. And everywhere they go, they get somewhere, and drama's there, and they'll eventually leave a place because there's drama there, and they'll say the statement all the way out the door, I hate drama. What they don't realize, they're the problem. And out of 10 people that know them people that went to the last 10 churches they've been at, they keep saying the same thing. I don't like all this drama, but yet they stir it up everywhere they go. It's kind of like this. It's like I wish Taylor Swift would write a new song, and the title of it would be, Maybe It's Me. You fans of Taylor Swift, when she's lining up with these faggots and liberals out here. I would have thrown her out the car window, CD and all, if I'd have saw her fooling with the faggots and liberals and taking up for them like she is. And Brian Adams would have been right behind her. I have a policy here. This is not your house. It is God's house. If you can't figure out which bathroom's yours, we can help you and assist you with said problem. We have ushers posted around different places making sure that you go into the right bathroom. But wait a minute, what if? No, no what ifs. There's only two choices, and you only fit in one stall. Okay? We don't get that stuff started around here. Every country that's got invaded by those people dies. Because God takes the blessing off of it. Every marriage that is married to where they do those sodomite weddings, they don't work. It's sad that nowadays in the United States, when they started doing this a couple of years ago, they said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to legalize their marriage. And you know what? There was more sodomites getting marriage license than there were straight people. Or should I say, normal people.
Right,
right. Get mad, I don't care. Hello? But you get somebody else to get mad. But you got you one on the side. But listen, here's the problem. We thinking God's on our side and we're sitting in a coffin. For to be carnally minded is, but to be spiritually minded is,
life.
Okay, we got that memorized. Now listen to this. In this chapter, in Genesis chapter 50, we see the views of the world, the carnal-minded, and the spiritually-minded people. I'm reminded that the Bible said it's all in the world, or the lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. We know that the world, the flesh, and the devil all line up against God's people. But as you look in verse 1 through 6, you'll see how the world views death in Genesis chapter 50. Here's how they view it. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. Do you know for you to go be a licensed mortician, you got to know just about as much human body as your doctor does? By the way, just so you'll know, he has to check you. He's the last guy to check and make sure you're really dead. You better hope he knows what he's looking for.
That's right.
I'd hate to wake up there and a guy have a knife at my throat, wouldn't you? What would you do? I'd probably have a heart attack and die right there again. But I know this, it's possible. They said over the years, they got people to the funeral home and then wake up in that embalming room right before they go towards them. What a way to wake up to.
Yeah.
And get this. The reason they embalmed people in 1906, all the morticians industry went and lobbied Congress to make sure they could embalm every person to stop the graveyard shift people from having a job, because they usually kept a string on a person's finger down the casket, and they had a guy sit up there all night. They heard the bell ringing, they knew that one woke up in there and wasn't really dead. That's where the term graveyard shift comes from. Morticians convention said, well, that's what we having to pay so much and all this. If we embalm them, though, if that's the law, then they'll be dead when they leave the funeral home, for sure. If you ain't dead when you get there, what they're saying is you will be dead when you leave there. And that's not intended nothing bad towards the funeral home. I can understand. But I do know this. I was there when my grandpa McDaniel died, and I'll never forget grandma saying, make sure he's dead before he leaves. And I thought, good Lord, before you make sure he's dead. He'd been laying there dead and done got cold in 2 hours before they got there. I'd hate to think they'd make a mistake like that, wouldn't you?
Yep.
But I know this, when they got through with him, he gained 25 years back on his life and looked like he was 65 again when they got through with him. How about that? Wouldn't you love to gain 25 years back tonight? Would you want to go that route to get it, though? You can only display it 2 days, by the way, and then we won't see you anymore. But you'll be young again. Hey, listen, they got there to this place right here, and it says in verse 3, and 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so all fulfilled the days of those that which are embalmed, and for the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of mourning were past, Joseph spake in the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There thou shalt bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, go up,
bury thy father according to thee,
thee swear. I noticed something here with this chapter. When we see this, we see the way the world views death. For them, it's over with. You're done. The world says, take 2 days off work, but the third day thou shalt return. If it's not in the immediate family, we don't want you to leave work over it. And from what I understand, the immediate family for you would be your father or your mother or one of your children or your spouse. Anything past that, we don't care who raised you. If you're not related like that, you don't get to go 2 days off or 3 days off unless you want us to use some of your vacation pay for it. Isn't that something? No wonder, listen, no wonder half these companies can't get people to work for them. You treat them like dirt.
Yep.
The only defense I've ever heard of this thing was how on a construction job I was on, a guy named Roger was over the job, and he told me one day he had just fired a man after he'd come back in from his grandparents' funeral. That was 2 days after I was hired. I had to get on and turn in some paperwork, and he was firing the guys I was walking in. The guy got mad, walked out, and I said, everything okay? Can I come in? He said, yeah. He said his fifth grandpa just died a while ago and he was wanting a day off. You do the math. You only got two. He's a fifth. Now,
I worked with a man,
our supervisor said of him. His grandma died in 1992. The grandpa that was married to her died in the early 1993. Summer of 93, the grandpa on the daddy's side died, and by Christmas, the grandmother had passed away. And that old guy told me, old supervisor, he said, if it'd been any rest of y'all done, said y'all had four grandparents die in a year and a half, I'd have fired you after the second one. He said, the only guy I've ever seen that actually literally happened to. I'm sure if you've ever worked construction or at the mill, you've had the same thing happen. You've heard of these 9 and 10 grandpas dying for got to get a day off. Here's how the world views death. You can go, but you better come back when we say so. You can go, and you can go to whatever church you want to, but don't bring no literature back in here. Don't you be putting these thoughts and handouts to our people in this job. We're trying to keep something going here. It's a job, and you'll mess it all up if you act like that. That's the way the world views death. You see a great funeral procession happen, verses 7 down through 14. We pick up down here in verse number 15. It says, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead. Now watch this right here. They said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. You see, the first view is the way the world views death. The second way is the way carnal people view life. He will hate us. I am so shocked in this day and age when somebody comes up to me and I'm trying to tell them about something. They said, we didn't do such and such, or we didn't come around you because we thought you hated us. Can I tell every one of you and those 7.2 billion people out there and the rest of the earth something? I don't hate anybody. There's no human being alive that I hate. If I preach hard, it's not because I hate you, it's because I love you. You've just been watered down on that television, them liberal preachers so long, you haven't figured out what love is yet. And when people come up and say, well, I know I did this, I thought you hated me for it. There's nothing you can do that will make me hate you. That ain't how love works.
Right.
And I thought about it for the last few years, and I've always thought that the reason people are like that is we live in the everybody gets a trophy society. And therefore, if you don't give them a trophy, you hate them. I thought that for the last few years. I thought, how in the world do we hate somebody when everybody gets a trophy? And it must be Karen that's like that. You heard about the call up to the police department, didn't you, the other day? We got a mask ordinance in the city. You must wear a mask. And if the election goes the way it's going, you'll be wearing one in your house for long, having to check in with the Gestapo to make sure you got one on. By the way, socialism always comes in through the left, not the right. But listen to this. This bunch is sitting there, and the policeman said, he answered the phone, hello? Yes, I'd like to report aisle 6. Somebody's here and they're not wearing a mask. He said, what's your name? And the person timidly says, Karen. That's what you got in this society. You got a bunch of people. I want to speak to the manager, not satisfied with nothing. And if you don't give them everything they want, their ideal is, you hate me, don't you? See, I thought this was a recent thing. Boy, God corrected me on something this week. Look at that verse down there again. Verse 15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph, peradventure, he'll peradventure what? He'll hate us. I got news for them. If he hated them, they'd already been dead. They'd have been dead when they showed up there for the first time wanting something, he recognized them. If he had a hateful bone in his body, he had executed them right there. And when somebody tells you no, that don't mean they hate you.
Right.
For to be carnally minded is death. For to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The reason you think people hate you, you're thinking with a carnal mind, and the view of God's green earth you have is with a carnal mind. You hadn't yet figured out that people don't hate people just because they say no to them.
Right.
Child abuse is one thing. Correcting a child is another. Those two are not the same thing. And if one person blurs the line, there's going to be a million suffer for it.
Right.
They'll say, you better call the law. I watched something on YouTube a while back where they did call the law. The law got there and said, beat them again. And it wasn't a TV show set up thing. They was mad as fire. Somebody had called him out there for something like that. Woman called and said, I want to report my child. He won't mind. 5-year-old sitting there. And that guy started unloading on her about, do you know how much it costs to call that number? We got to come out one time how much that costs the police department that everybody else but you's paying in taxes. I thought, man, can we get that guy to say that to the ambulance people around here? You get them, listen, update Medical Center, Spartanburg Regional Medical System, Gaffney Campus, whatever you want to call it. I have been there, and one of them tell me, that come in on the ambulance because a mosquito bit them. They were afraid they might be AIDS in that mosquito. Well, I got news for you. If you got a good dose of that mosquito and a good dose of the AIDS victim for you, then you might as well call the graveyard and don't quit fooling with the hospital. You done. We thought you had a heart attack. Wasn't a heart attack. Just because somebody's overweight and walks across the room or walks across the road and gets out of breath, that ain't necessarily a heart attack. But they'll call the ambulance for it now. They do that for everything. Common cold, they call the ambulance. Why? You're paying for it, not them. Shoot, you don't think they'd pay them high bills. $3,000 come somewhere for an ambulance? No, they wouldn't pay that. But you will because they're doing it. That's how the carnal mind views things. That's how they view life. The carnal mind says somebody else can pay for it. The carnal mind says it's free, but it's not free. Somebody paid for it. The carnal mind says, you hate me, you told me no. He's got carnally minded brothers. And the very thing that happens in verse number 17, that last sentence down there, and Joseph wept when they spake unto him. I read where man said, saying that to Joseph is like taking an iced arrow and putting through his cold, through his hot blood beating heart, is what that must have felt like to him. After all that he had done for them, he never exacted revenge one time. But that's carnal people for you. The last view of this thing, down in verse 24 through 26, he says, and Joseph said to his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. And Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. What we see here is in verse 26, Joseph's bones were a type as the promise that they would make it to the promised land. When God visits you and takes you out of here, take me with you because we're getting in. Isn't that something? 400 years down the road, they're going to be carrying a set of bones because this man brought up a promise of God that God's going to keep, and he's already going to do it right there. So we got the last view of what's going on here in Genesis chapter 50 is the way the spiritual-minded person views God Almighty. Now we have the way the world views death, it's over with. The carnal mind views life as, if it isn't all positive, then you hate me. And now we get down here to this part of it, and we see the way the spiritual person views God. He said this, for a fact, God will visit you. God will. God will visit you. There's going to come a time in the book of Exodus, right in this next one, there's going to come a Pharaoh up about three or four generations down, or five. He's going to be born, and he's going to come up with this. He knew not Joseph, so he didn't care about them Jews. They've multiplied in Egypt by the time that this Pharaoh comes on in Exodus chapter 1. And by the time this happens, he don't like them. Why? Carnally minded. Why are we having these Jews here with us? They're going to raise up and take over our country one day. I think you got them mistaken with the Muslims. Remember all them refugees from all the Muslim countries? You know what that was about? To take control of your country. By the way, I'd like to give a good shout out to that politician up in Minnesota, Michigan. What's her name? Ilhan Omar? Trump rallies are not Klan rallies. But they're, listen to this. They're American rallies, and you hate us, and you know it. You said it yourself. And if you ever become president, want to do something my house or these people's here's house, we got something for you down here. You know what it's called? An anti-Muslim intervention program. We've been warned about this since 9/11/2001 about this very thing. And while men slept, they've been planting them. You said that sounds xenophobic? Not on your life. But if you hate me and hate my God, I'm not just going to let you come in and take over everything. Right? Amen. All you guys that own guns, why are you buying them? That's not the reason why to go up against tyranny. How dare somebody like that, who is xenophobic, who is racist, say something about a Klan rally? Isn't that something? Somebody who hates white Americans, how dare you say something like that? You know what the difference is in the Klan rally and Trump rally? About 10,000 things. One of them in particular is this: they hide their identity and we don't. Don't worry, they're watching me, not you on tape. Don't say a word, don't shout, don't you dare say amen because you're afraid they're going to say something to you later. And I'm to the age where I don't care. So what is that? Spiritually minded. If God says that, I'm worried about it. But that bunch says that, I ain't worried about them. Go look at Europe and tell me what's going on over there. Why are we building the wall? To keep the bad guys out.
Right.
Not to keep legal immigrants from getting in. We've always been for that. But you got to come through the door we say. You got to sign a piece of paper and do this to that flag over there. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Is that right?
Yeah.
And y'all scared to death. I might as well quit right here, but I'm not. Joseph's final type is a promised return to the promised land. They know that whatever mess they're fixing to walk into that he's talking about, they're going to come out of it. But the promise he gives is a type of Israel. It's dual type. It's a type of Israel. Israel is going back to the land God gave them. That's both a promise and a prophecy. Did it happen? Yes, it did. You know what all the fighting is going over there about being? Getting that Jew back off that land because the Muslims want it. Isn't it odd that every piece they own gets to become slums, dirt everywhere and all this other stuff, but when Israel has it, they can grow grass and trees and everything else? Listen, I encourage you, if you can, take a visit to the Holy Land, but fly through Cairo, Egypt to get there. So you look outside the plane as you going by, you'll see desert, 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 boom, there's greenery. As you go into Israel, right at their border. They must be something to this book. God said, I'll bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. They curse at you all day long, what God do for them? Keep them over in the desert. You go eat in Egypt right now, and you go to, you know, they've had the COVID thing in effect for 2,000 or 3,000 years. You eat outside over at the market and everything, and you fight flies the whole time. And all the locals call them things Pharaoh's flies, like in this book. I ain't saying they're really Pharaoh's flies, but they think they are. And who are we to scoff at a fly that he could have a baby that had a baby that had a baby all the way down to sitting there at that time like that? Who are we to judge, right? Had to come from somewhere. It didn't get there by itself, did it? But listen to this. To be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The bones being carried into the promised land, I said it's a dual type. The second type, that thing being a type of the church. You and I both know that we read John chapter 20, 21, those chapters over there. We all know that he refers to Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, says flesh and bone. Flesh and bone. He never talks about the blood. Why? He didn't have none by that time. Remember, he shed his blood for our sins. He didn't get to keep none. That's all of it. When he resurrected the third day, he resurrected with a glorified body made out of flesh and bones. When you get up from the grave at the rapture, you're going to have some bones and flesh come together and meet your spirit in there. If you're alive on planet Earth, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, your corruption is going to put incorruption, i.e., your blood leaves your body in the moment of twinkling of an eye because it's corrupt. Everybody's thinking that you see these things about the rapture where they'll have it set up and people will pop out of the thing like a magic genie, poof, they're gone, their clothes are laying there. How about this? All of your blood goes with it. They're going to come into this church. I hope it happens while I'm preaching. And I hope the rapture happens. And you know what they're going to see when they come in here? It's going to look like a mass murderer went through and got all of us. And if you are left behind, you will lose your mind at the sight of something like that and the smell of something like that. I've had people tell me, well, you're trying to scare people. No, I'm just telling you the truth. The truth scares you, so be it. That don't scare me. I won't be here to witness it. I'll be long gone by the last drop being out. And so what are you going to do for clothes? I'll have a glorified body with a robe of righteousness that God promised to all of us, and I'm okay with the robe of righteousness. And I know that when we check out here at that moment in time, those bones checking back into Israel is a picture of something else. You know what it is? When we come back riding in with Christ, the first part of the journey is this. At the end of that 7 years tribulation, we're on horses descending right there to Jerusalem, because Israel, the remnant of Israel, is going to be there being attacked from four different sides, and he's going to come in. We're going to make up the grandstand up there with all the people shouting and moaning, and he's going to take out all the major players in the world in one moment and never fire a single shot. He's going to do it with the word of his mouth. That's how we know this book's powerful. Hey, listen, it ain't your lack of social distancing they don't like about a church. It's God's book they don't like, because they know this book will cut through them and they don't like it.
Right.
When lost people say, well, I like this version better, it takes out the these and thous. It ain't the these and thous that keep you up at night. It's the sword penetrating you that keeps you up at night. The insomnia you suffer from is not from the these and the thous and all this other and the ETH endings. The what keeps you up at night is the fact you know when it said hell, it meant hell. And when it said that thing was on fire, that it was on eternal fire, and that all lost people go there, and you know you headed there too, and it keeps you up at night. See, the world, they view God one way. The carnal view God one way. But the spiritual has this to say: take my bones and put them back over in the promised land, because I know God's going to do it. Why did he believe that? He'd seen plenty of prophecy so far in the first 49 chapters. He knew it was going to be okay. And tonight, when we go home, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to sleep all night, because I know that no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, I know what's going to happen at the end of the thing. We win. Got one other little small detail for you. Darwin has a theory, and it goes monkey to man to the moon. That's what that man said he taught and believed. I can't believe they ain't found the missing link, because it's in Darwin's books. You go figure out what it is. But he thinks that's the theory right there. You know what you just got through seeing in 50 chapters of Genesis? Two things. Christ to Cain to coffin. You got the Lord coming in and creating everything, and we know according to the Colossians, he was the creator in Genesis chapter 1. Psalm 33:6, the word of the Lord is how we got here. But then you got another one that shows up, another three-word statement about Genesis: God to greed to grave. Those are both quite opposite of Darwin. In Darwin's thing, we keep going up. Everything's going to be fine. But what our real world picture looks like is this. Now you think, listen, you think it's bad now. What about World War II when you didn't have CNN and Fox and Newsmax and NBC and whoever else telling you what happened on the European front today? You know when you found out? One of two ways. You either went to the movies and they run a trailer before the movie telling you what the current things going on is, a little trailer there. Or you bought a newspaper and you found out what happened 2 months ago. That's your only two sources. I said, man, what'd they do? There wasn't no TVs. You did know this, right? Flat screens ain't always been here. Nobody had one before 1950. And we all sat around, you know what we did? We enjoyed family and life. When we had revival, we didn't have to say, well, preacher, I can't make it such and such night. Now, I got the Republican ladies meeting that night. God is my witness. I preached for a pastor one time and said, wife can't be here Thursday night. She went to the Republican ladies convention or meeting, monthly meeting. So Wednesday night, I preached on why God wants you in the house of God instead of some other Republican meeting, whatever that may be. See, the problem most of these churches, if the preacher's wife would get right with God, the church would have revival. Well, wanting to tell the people how to spend their money, how to tell people how they ought to do the other stuff, and next thing you know, the preacher dies and she takes over.
Uh-oh.
And I ain't just talking about charismatic churches, I'm talking about these Baptist churches where it's happening. See, what they do is they control the thing behind the scenes. And when you tell them no one time, they'll say, well, y'all hate me, don't you? Carnally minded. Carnally minded. When you get to Joseph over here, what was he? Spiritually minded. You know what one thing about this type of Joseph thing is that really gets the thing going is that he's consistent all the way through this book.
Yeah.
That's how he's the type of Christ. God put him there so you'd see Jesus. One last thing I did notice about these 50 chapter journeys that we've made is this. There's four major people that's covered in this book. There's four major places. And out of all of it, when we look back on it, somehow we keep missing chapter 3 and how we talk about things. If somebody says, well, y'all are just so negative, y'all say everybody's going to hell. Is that true? No, not everybody's going to hell. I'm not for sure. I can't speak for everybody, but I know I'm not. Because I know I look back on a time and place in my life that God saved me. And when He saved me, He changed me. I see that. I know that. That's in my brain. I can't forget that thing. And if I ever do, I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost to the day of redemption. So when He takes off the seal, I'm already there with Him. But here's the part. People look at this and they say, y'all are so negative. We're not negative. We're still fighting that same devil that showed up in chapter 3 that said, yea, hath God said. All our arguments and griefs and fights are with Him. Just because you play on His team, don't take it personal. It's just business. When people come along and say, well, that old Bible, that's full of fairy tales. You read these first chapters, 50 chapters of the Bible right here and come away and tell me where the fairy tale is. Start right now. Mark it all down so you can talk to me later and tell me where all the fairy tales are, because there's none here. And when you get through the 50 chapters of this book, go through and get all the rest of them and come back and write them all down. Tell me what all the fairy tale. Because you know what happens in this book? Truth. Truth after truth after truth. God dealing with man over and over. Man said, I'll be good. He won't be good. Well, God, if you'll give me a set of rules, I'll keep them. God said, here they are. Not one person's kept them. Well, Lord, if you'll let me born into the right family, I'll be a good person. I'll go to heaven. There's a whole Jewish race headed to hell right now because they rejected the Messiah. Well, if I could just go to church. Do you know in Revelation chapter 3, at the end of the chapter, they've locked him out of his own church? That don't sound like saved people to me. That sounds like lost people. Lost people taking over the church. How'd they do that? Matthew 24, tares planted among the wheat. And we say, well, Lord, if I don't have to go to church to be saved. You're right. If you have a home church to go back to. You sit outside the walls of a local church saying, the church people, you'll never do nothing for God either.
Right.
I've watched people over the years try to say, well, I got treated bad at church. The rules are already set. They're already here. And if I was going to change something, it wouldn't be about the church rules. It would be some other things. Hey, man, listen. When I get to heaven, the first thing I'll do is find the guy that invented the tie. And we'll go from there. All this before there's tears in heaven, by the way. Now listen to me. As we look at this thing, it ends in a coffin. Your life's going to end the same way. Don't end your life in a coffin without Jesus Christ. Don't ever tell yourself, well, I'll wait till the very end. I don't drink, I don't smoke. I'll just wait till the very end. And right before I die, I'll get saved. There have been people that I've known in my life. One of them used to live right over here in this corner house over here back years ago. Riding down the road where that red light is, you know where the Floyd Baker and other road comes together like this? Sitting at that red light, had a heart attack. He's in better shape than you are. And he was 20-something when he died. Better shape than you. He's good shape. Better shape. The older you get, the more likely you are to have one. But you're always subject all the way up through there. And the Bible says that for fear in the last days. Oh my, Thanksgiving dinner's been canceled in some states. Heard today that one of them wants to make sure you're wearing a mask in your house and they're willing to send the police out to do it. Ask them. Say, hey, you know, when you get to hell, you ask Hitler, he'll tell you. Exactly his game plan, exactly his outline. Control the people.
Yep.
Now listen to me. You may get all that, may not, but you will get that coffin. There's been people driving down the road, minding their own business, observing every traffic law, hands at 10 and 2, right speed limit and everything. And the craziest thing will happen. A tire will blow out, and they go right into eternity. There's a man lived over on that same road Rose Hill Baptist Church is on over there. I forget the name of it. Was it Filter Plant Road? Bonner Lake Road. You get a call. They say a woman has been out here to World of Clothing. She is coming from Spartanburg, and for whatever reason, her car veered off on the side. Remember them steel cables they'd put out? She hit them, flipped her car, and went right headlong into traffic at rush hour. Went out into eternity. I asked, why did the accident happen? Nobody knew. All they knew is what I told you. Had to go out there and tell people that somebody's died. And go out there and be with people and say, listen, there's something happened. And the way the thing ended was a coffin. Here not long ago, a man died right over here in front of Steve's house over here, Brother Steve's house. I get a call about that. What happened? He died. He died. You go to the funeral, you talk to people, you preach your heart out to them, and they walk away headed the same route. You know why? They don't believe what I'm telling you tonight. And I'm telling you this. Sure as this book says in a coffin in Egypt, you'll go out the same way.
Right.
Listen, this may be the last time you have to put it me. I may be tonight. But I do know this, what's on the other side of the page when I leave here, I'll be in heaven with God forever, and all my troubles will be over.
Right.
I won't be in no soul sleep, thank God.
Amen.
As good as I like to take a nap, once we die, that feature will be turned off, amen.
Amen.
We'll be able to praise God, not to worry about nobody around it, and be able to worship the King. But everybody left behind will be wondering, am I next? There's a while back, there's about 10 people I know by name that say, I just can't attend funerals. They bother me. They should. If I knew I was headed to hell, I wouldn't go to one either. You know why? I'd be a reminder of my own coffin coming up here before long. It costs you to come in. It's going to cost you to go out. But you will pay afterwards if you don't have Jesus Christ. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.